Welcome. Welcome to the 2014 Desiring God National Conference. I am going to make sure that I start my stopwatch so I don't go too long. I need to keep track of the time here. It is a pleasure to have you here. And I get the pleasure of welcoming you on behalf of the Board of Directors and the staff and the 100-plus volunteers. It's wonderful to have you here at the conference. We are praying that you will be enriched. You will love the Word of God. It will just increasingly feel like worth more than much fine gold and sweeter than honey to you. It'll be a fountain of life to you. And Matt is right. The seminar is called Yes, You Can, How to Memorize Big Chunks of the Bible. And more accurately is Why You Should and How You Can Memorize Big Chunks of the Bible. Now, what I mean by big chunks of the Bible is simply a chapter, maybe a number of chapters, and entire books. And if you're thinking, well, I can't memorize entire books, that's why it's called Yes, You Can. You can. And I'm here, my aim is to convince you that you should, and when I mean you should, you know that I don't mean a legal should. I'm not here to lay burdens on you. It's more like a doctor who says, you know, you really should lose some weight, you really should get some exercise, it's good for you. So memorizing big chunks of the Bible is beneficial to you, and I want to explain why it is. And I'm going to do it in three parts. The first part is I'll explain to you, I'll give you 10 reasons why I think you should, why I think it's beneficial to you. Then I'm going to give you a quick tutorial on how to do it, or at least how I have done it, and it's a technique that John Piper also uses. I learned it from him first, heard it from him first. And then if we have time, I'm going to demonstrate what a review looks like by reciting some of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, which is the book that I'm working through right now in memory. So, let's jump in. 10 reasons why you should memorize big chunks of the Bible. Reason number one, because you have a bad memory. You have a bad memory. You don't say, well, I can't memorize big chunks of the Bible because I have a bad memory. That's the reason why you need to memorize big chunks of the Bible. I have a bad memory. I do. I think my memory is worse than average. I do not seem to remember names and all sorts of kinds of information that people around me seem to be able to remember more effectively. I don't know. It's a bane. When my wife and I got married, I dreaded the reception line because there were relatives who were going to come through that I knew I was going to forget. And so I have a bad memory. If you have a bad memory, and most of us do, not many of us are Charles Spurgeon types or Winston Churchill types who seem to be able to have instant recall of things that they read years ago. Most of us have to drive things into our long-term memory by the process of repetition. And so that's what I have done, and that's what I want you to do. I think you'll be surprised what you can commit to memory if you devote even 10, 15 minutes a day to do it. You'll be surprised at how much you can commit to memory. I've memorized 5 New Testament books so far, and I'm on my 6th, 1 Corinthians, and I'm doing it because I have a bad memory. All right, so that's reason number one. Reason number two, because you need to feed your mind. You need to feed your mind. Philippians 4:8 says, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things, right? But it's hard to think about these things if you can't remember what they are. When you are going through a season of anguish, if you're going through a season of depression or significant trial and disappointment, sadness, grief, anger, general positive Bible concepts are not going to be very helpful to you. You need specific, precious, and very great promises to be able to hold on to. And so so memorizing big chunks of the Bible gets you familiar, drives them there. It provides food for your mind so that when you need to think about these things, they are more accessible to you. And that leads into reason number three why you should memorize big chunks of the Bible. It's because the Bible is too accessible to you. It's a sad thing and kind of a strange thing that what we have in abundance are things that we tend to neglect. Familiarity really does have a way of breeding contempt. And so we've got Bibles, we've got scads of Bibles in America and in the Western world. We have all sorts of translations. We have Bibles on our tables and on our shelves and in our phones and our tablets. It's on their computer. It's on the internet. We can search keywords. It's so accessible that it's tempting to let it sort of be out there, not in here. We can think we know the Bible a lot, and it's because it's so accessible, and we can go to it when we want. But we're supposed to hide the Word in our heart. The Word of Christ is supposed to dwell in us richly, not out there richly. So it's we can't fool ourselves by thinking we know the Bible. And that leads us to number four. Well, actually, that's number five. Number four is because you have the internet. So this is kind of a sub point, really, but let's make it number four. Because you have the internet. And what I want to say about the internet is the internet is teaching us to learn how not to read. Okay? The internet is teaching us how not to read. We're becoming information scanners, browsers, doing a lot of browsing. You do a lot of browsing and you don't digest very much. We're losing patience for deeper, more reflective reading. So if you're scanning, if you're scanning through the Bible, if you think that maybe a 5 minute a day Bible reading plan is good for you, I'd say, well, it's better than nothing, but not a whole lot more. What we need is deep reflection on the Bible. And memorizing large chunks of the Bible forces us to reflect deeply. So if you want to think about this as complementing what Tom just said, Tom talked about arcing. Getting in, mining the Word. Well, memorizing is a way of mining the Word because the amount of times that you repeat makes you think deeply about it. And you make connections that you never have before. So it is a way of mining the Bible. Number five. You ought to memorize big chunks of the Bible because you don't know the Bible as well as you think you do. Probably. If you grow up in the church, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've done a lot of Bible reading, you heard a lot of teaching, you can think you know the Bible, but if you've never memorized a large portion of Scripture, then I want to give you this challenge, just as an experiment. Try memorizing Ephesians 1 or Romans 8, like we're going to be just bathing in this weekend, or Romans 12 or Hebrews 11. Or 1 Corinthians 13, or 1 John 4. What you're going to find is that there is a lot more there than you saw before, than you realize. That's what it's done for me. There's a lot more there. And what I liken it to is, it's like having a friend who you've known for a while, you think you know them pretty well, and then you have a conversation with them that opens up a whole new dimension of them to you. And you went, oh, I didn't see that before. I didn't know that about you before. And that friend now feels closer. You know them better. You take a different step in your relationship with them. It's like that. That's what memorizing large portions of the Bible does for you. You are going to know biblical writers better. You will see the flow of thought. Books will cease to be just nice Bible friends and become trusted counselors to you and confidants, dear, precious friends. And that just leads to number six. The sixth reason you should memorize big chunks of the Bible is that God's word really will become more precious to you. The principle is simple. What you invest in most becomes most precious to you. Invest something in something a lot, it becomes precious to you. So if we're not spending much time in the Bible, we should not be surprised if it's not that precious to us. It's not that compelling. But if you spend a cumulative dozens of hours, or over a period of years, hundreds of hours meditating on the word because you're committing it to memory, it will become a precious and essential part of your life. It will become intertwined in your life. And you'll know what the psalmist meant. He says, when he says, it's more, your word, Lord, is worth more than much fine gold, sweeter than drippings from the honeycomb. The seventh point is the most important point that I'll cover here of these 10, I think. You should memorize large portions of the Bible because it will help you to see more of God's glory. It's going to help you see more of God's glory. If you want to know something about a person, you can learn a few things about them by observing something that they have made. If you look at a portrait that Rembrandt has painted, there are things you can learn about Rembrandt by looking at his work of art, but you will not know him through that medium like you will if you listened well to things that he said and you observed carefully what he did. Then you would know him. And the same is true about God. So Minneapolis is just shining with glory at this time of the year. It's my favorite time of the year. Get out when you have a chance. Bathe in the glorious golden sunlight. Look at the natural wonder of the leaves turning. There's a lot that God wishes for us to feast on. There's things that he would love to show us, like it says in Psalm 19, by looking at the book of nature. But the most precious things about God you will not find in the book of nature. You will not know by looking at nature that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and that God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that who would ever believe in him would not perish, would have eternal life. And you wouldn't know what eternal life means and what that implies for you. You can only know that by going to God's word. You want to see more glory. Mountains and microbes and galaxies and goats say something glorious about God, but oh, not as nearly as wonderful as the word. Memorizing large chunks of scripture helps us listen carefully and perceive more glory. Number eight. You need to memorize large portions of the Bible because doing it will fine-tune your hooey gauge. You know what hooey is? Who's seen the Lego movie? Lego movie? I like the Lego movie. A great definition of hooey is what President Business, the villain of the movie, says. You remember the quote, those of you who have seen it? That's a bunch of hippy-dippy baloney. That's what hooey is. It's a good definition. On a more serious tone, we're talking about lies. Lies are lethal. Lies destroy souls, and the world is lying to you all the time. The devil is lying to you all the time. The world lies in the power of the evil one, John says in 1 John 5:19. Your sin nature lies to you. False brothers lie to you. And sometimes, in a heartbreaking way, true brothers and sisters will lie. And the question is, how are we going to make our way, discern our way through the morass of lies in this world and know truth? Well, Jesus gives us the answer in John 17 when he's praying to the Father. Your word is truth. And in John chapter 8, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The better you know God's word, the better you are able to handle it. The more you have in your mind, the clearer you are able to discern. So having a lot of God's word in your mind stored in there, it functions as a filter, and your hooey gauge, your lie detector inside is fine-tuned, all right? So there are things you will pick up on a finer level than you would if you just kind of breeze through the Bible. I'll fine-tune your hooey gauge. Number 9, you should memorize big chunks of the Bible because you're going to suffer. All right, so some of you, suffering is front and center right now. You're experiencing it. It's intense. Some of you are fresh off of a season of suffering. Some of you are going to encounter it this year. All of us will suffer. In this world, we will have tribulation, Jesus says. And whenever suffering and anguish comes, it's always confusing and disorienting. And so what memorizing large portions of the Bible, committing it to memory, what that helps you do is have a well to draw from when things break in. And not only can you call things to mind, but you will have learned that portion of the Bible so well that even when the pain is intense and you can't quite call it to mind exactly, you know right where to go. You know where to say it. Oh, what is that? Hebrews 12:11, what does that say about the discipline of the Lord? It's painful. You know right where to go. You know where it is. And so it will help you endure suffering. And the last point is related. You should memorize big chunks of the Bible because your brothers and sisters are going to suffer. All right, so memorizing Scripture isn't just about us. It's not just about us, and it's not merely about our own worship of God, but it's also loving toward others. Your brothers and sisters are going to be in need. And for you to have a well to draw from, that's not just all external and kind of and not general. When your brothers and sisters are in anguish, they don't need general platitudes, kind of general biblical concepts. And what they need is concrete promises too. And so you can love them in that moment. Your investment of time will serve them. It will bear fruit in all sorts of ways that you didn't expect. So those are 10 reasons why you should memorize large chunks of the Bible. Now, what I want to do is explain a simple technique, how to do that, because that can be one of the biggest problems. How do I do that? Because many years ago, tried to memorize through Colossians, but the system I had wasn't very good. My recall was bad. And it wasn't until John Piper introduced me to this particular technique that it clicked for me, and it worked. And it's a technique that's developed by Dr. Andrew Davis. He is the senior pastor at First Baptist Church in Durham, North Carolina. And he has memorized a ton of Scripture. And I'm hoping that one of the fruits of this seminar is that you might go out then and get his 30-page booklet about how to memorize extended portions of scripture. It's on Amazon. It's only 99 cents. All right? But it will explain all this to you, lay it out how, really how to do it, how to memorize even really big chunks of the Bible, and how to do the review and all those kind of things. So make note of that and look for Andrew Davis's booklet. But here's the key. To memorize something, the most effective way is not to say it 100 times in a day. Okay, that's called cramming, and that's what you did for your college exams. It's what you were able to regurgitate it on the exam, and then you did not remember much at all. All right? That's not how the long-term memory works. But if you say something one time for 100 consecutive days, now you've got something in your long-term memory. All right? So that's a key concept. One time, 100 consecutive days, and you will have, you'll own that scripture. You will remember it. It will be familiar to you. Now, what I want to do is, let me show you how this is done. We'll take John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, just as an example. This is how you do it. All right, so John chapter 1 is, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's verse 1. Verse 2 is, he was in the beginning with God. And verse 3 is, all things were made through him, and without him was nothing made that was made. Right? That's the first three verses. Now, how are you going to begin to memorize? Let's just say that tomorrow you're inspired by this, and you go, and you're going to say, I'm going to memorize John chapter 1, which would be a wonderful thing to memorize. Here's what you do. You will open up your Bible, or you will turn it on, whatever it is that you do, all right? And you will go to John chapter 1, and what you will do is you will read, all right? So you'll take your Bible, and you will read. And you'll say, John 1:1. Now, I do it verbally. I do. I do it out loud. I pace. I even pace outside in the nice weather. So if you're there early in the morning, you hear this guy talking to yourself, that's me. Okay? But it helps me. And if it helps you to hear yourself, do it out loud. But you will look at it, and you'll go, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I don't care how familiar you are to that. Don't go, I already know that. Let's do that. Don't do that. You look at it. You read every word as you say it. And the reason is it developing a habit for you, and that reading it deliberately imprints it in your mind. And believe me, it will help you months later remember. You will have flashes in your mind of what it looks like, even the contour of the sentence, if you can't see the words clearly in your head. But that's what it's doing. It's imprinting it on your mind. You will read it carefully, and you will do it 10 times, and you will say, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you do that 10 times. And then you close your Bible or turn it off, and then you will recite it, John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you'll do that 10 times, and then you're done. The next day, you'll come and you'll turn on or open up your Bible, and the first thing you'll do is you will review what you did yesterday, and you will review it by reciting it 10 times. Okay? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And you'll do that by memory 10 times. And then you will look and you'll do verse 2. He was in the beginning with God. 1:2. He was in the beginning with God. 1:2. He was in the beginning with God. Now you'll say those words, or at least say it in your mind. 1:2. Say the verse number. What you're doing there is you are creating little tags in your brain. 1:1, 1:2, 1:3, 1:4. And let me tell you, this will really help you. Your brain isn't very good at remembering things, and it will lose it. It'll shuffle things around. And if you don't make those little tags, you'll go, a lot more than you will if you will tag them in your brain. It's not hard. It doesn't take any more extra time, but it is more effective to do that. So you will do that, and then you will read it 10 times, and you will recite it 10 times, and then you're done. Third day, you will open it up. You will review what you did a couple days ago. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, by memory, and once. That's it. Then you go to verse 2, you will recite that by memory 10 times. Then verse 3, you will read verse 3 three times, and you will recite it three times, and then you're done. And then you're going to, so you're going to make your way through the book of the first chapter of John that way. Reciting those earlier verses that you do won't take much time at all. You're just doing it once. The only one you're doing that you're reciting 10 times is the one you did yesterday and the one you're doing today. Does that make sense? It's a very simple technique, but it's very effective. And I encourage you to give it a try. All right. Well, let me demonstrate. All right. So I've been memorizing my way through 1 Corinthians chapter, or 1 Corinthians, and so I'm gonna do chapter 1 here for you as a way to, now here's what a review might look like. All right. So 1 Corinthians 1, verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus and a brother Sosthenes. 1:2. To the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. 1:3. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. 1:4. I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. 1:5. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge. 1:6, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, 1:7, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1:8, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ, 1:9, God is faithful, by whom you were called into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, 1:10. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree and that there be no dissension among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. 1:11, for it has been reported to me by Chloe's people that there is quarreling among you, my brothers. 1:12, what I mean is this, that each one of you says, oh, I follow Paul, or I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. 1:13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? 1:14, I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius. 1:15, so that no one may say that you were baptized in my name. 1:16, well, I did baptize also the household of Stephanas, but beyond that, I do not know whether I baptized anyone else. 1:17, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with eloquent words of wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. 1:18, for the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. 1:19, for as it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. 1:20, where is the one who is wise? Where's the scribe? Where's the debater of this age? Has God not made foolish the wisdom of the world? 1:21. For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. 1:22. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom. 1:23. But we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, 1:24. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, 1:25. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. 1:26. For consider your own calling, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth, 1:27. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong, 1:28. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even the things that are not, in order to bring to nothing the things that are, 1:29, so that no human being may boast in the presence of God. 1:30, because of him we are in Christ Jesus, who became to us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. 1:31, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. So that's how it looks. That's how it looks for me as I'm doing my review. Do you see, I said the verse number and I recited the verse. And it helps. It helps as you are anticipating the verses to come, and it brings them to mind, and it begins to store them up. Now, the benefit, of course, for memorizing is not like being able to recite it in front of people, although there may be times when that's helpful. The real benefit for you and for others is it will help you to really listen to God's word. You will listen to God's word in a way that you don't when you just read through things, kind of skip across the surface of it. It will help you to really understand God's word. It will help you then to believe it. You will see nuances in God's word that you didn't see before. Your belief in it will become more profound. You will perceive more glory, more of God's glory. It'll help inflame your worship, and it will give you fuel to give to other people comfort and help and encouragement and to fuel their worship of God. And it'll help you to spread it. More of God's words will be on your lips in moments when you need it like that. So you can do this. If I can do this, you can do this. And you should. It's not as hard as you think. Try it. It's not as hard as you think. It's one of the best investments that you may make in your life. And you will not regret it. Let me pray. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, or stands in the way of sinners, or sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Oh God, we want to have your word so inside of us that we are meditating on it day and night. It becomes part of the background noise of our life and our thinking. And I pray that your word will grow more precious to us. Cause it to dwell within us richly. Give us grace to store it up deeply. In Jesus' name, amen.